John, the book of John. We're going to do, I think it's number 19 of the Sunday school series. You want to check that just on your way by? Okay. And we're just going to do John chapter 8, maybe John chapter 9. Nothing earth-shattering, I don't think, at this point, because we have probably seen all the major points that go on in the Gospels. They do all the things that are different than the King James, than the New Testament, than Paul's. And now it's just going to be a rehash and a review of pretty much the same ones all the time. But it's interesting to read, because we'll just see it again and again and again and again. Chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. Now, kids, you can even kind of, John chapter, you can follow right along with this pretty much, I'll bet, if you've got your Bibles, which I hope you do. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. I comment on that because I've always been taught as a teacher. You never sit down to teach, but I've always wanted to sit down and teach. But I think that's interesting. Small comment there, but interesting. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Now, is yours in italics right here? Isn't that interesting? That's quite a phrase to put in there when you had no manuscripts to back it up. That's what that italics means. The translators put in italics what they did not have any manuscripts for, but as they met in all these different rooms and different parts of the town, they all came up with these same words right there. And people say that the King James Bible isn't inspired. It has to be inspired for God to come along with that. And now supposedly a lot of these italicized words and phrases have found manuscripts and stuff. So it's been proven. It's amazing. And it says right here, but Jesus stooped down. They ask him this question. They're tempting him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I like that. This is so good. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, we're going to see some things about judgment here, and I'm hoping without going to the verses, you'll remember some of the judgment issues that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 14. Okay? And Romans chapter 2 as well. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Isn't that odd? He wrote on the ground, and they which heard it. I don't believe it can be referring back to verse 7 from a grammatical standpoint, because you got something in verse 8. But anyway, being convicted by their own conscience. And there's an example to me of the written word of God being heard and putting conviction on somebody. Anyway, and they which heard it, I wonder if they found the spot in the sand where he wrote it. Anyway, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, and isn't their own italicized? See? Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone. They just walked away. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. Now you picture that. He's down until they all waddle out of there. Then he stands up. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and there's another one, sin no more. So in other words, in the gospel days, you could sin again. And we read back in early part of John and in Luke that if they do, it becomes worse than what it was before they did this one. So, what do we know about sin? What do we know about law? What are those things that we know that's not a problem? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And who are them? Because it was just her that was still there. Now, I'm not finding questions to show the problems or the mistakes. I'm saying that there's more in this picture than we realize if we just watch really closely as we read. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And there's that follow. Modern Bibles will say imitate. But beyond that, there it is. Let's follow Jesus. And if we follow Jesus, we won't walk in darkness. And yet we realize in John, and in 1 John, if you hate your brother, a brethren, you're walking in darkness. You've lost your salvation. You're no longer in the light. And it says in there in 1 John chapter 3 that if you've sinned, you are not born of God. So, in the Gospels and in the Tribulation books, sinning was axed. You couldn't do it. You should not do it. They had to stop from doing that. And if they did, they had to confess it. 1 John 1:9, which is not written to us. 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Now, didn't we learn that in John chapter 5? He said his witness is not true. People don't believe him. His own family didn't believe him. His own family didn't think he was what he said he was. Okay, Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, even though nobody else believes that. He says, For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Now how can that be? Jesus Christ says he judges no man. It must have something to do with ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man after the flesh. It must have something to do with that. Because you'll see, he does plenty of judgment here. Look at verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It's always nice to be a team. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And what were the other two witnesses? In John chapter 4, I think it is, or 5, one was John the Baptist, the other one, one was the works of God, one was the works of Jesus Christ, and the last one was Scripture. Those are the four witnesses. He talks about it here a little bit. He has two witnesses now. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And I would figure that this is where a lot of people, I'm just winging some thoughts on most of these tonight, a lot of people come up with this, well, it's not my time to go. Because the Bible says we all have an appointment. No, it says it is appointed unto man to die. Wants to die. We all have an appointment for death. We're going to die. We don't know when it is. And that's not what that verse says at all. But besides that, this is where we see where Jesus, it wasn't his hour to go. Well, this is Jesus, because his hour was specific. His walk had to be fulfilled. And if he went earlier, the walk wouldn't have been fulfilled, so it wasn't going to happen to him. But I don't see anybody else teaching us that we can say, well, we're just going to live dangerously because my time has come, my time has come. And I don't believe that to be true. I don't see anywhere in the Scriptures that's true. 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now there it is again. These folks in the Gospels are going to die in their sins. That's why they had to go to Abraham's bosom. Sin hadn't been paid for yet. They could follow Jesus all they want, but He hadn't paid for any sins. Remember last Sunday, the Holy Ghost hadn't even been given yet. Why would that be? Well, in a couple of chapters before that, Jesus says, I can't even commit myself to any man because He knows what's in them. Sin. So the Gospels are way different than Paul's teachings, because in Paul's teaching, we get saved, we're no longer going to die in our sins. He takes care of that. But these folks, when they die, they will die in their sins. So they better not sin. Follow Jesus, do what He says, do what He does, and they won't sin. If they don't do what He says and don't do what He does and don't confess Him, they will die in their sins. 22, then said the Jews, will He kill Himself? Because He saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And He said unto them, ye are from beneath. That's a good one. Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Now I start to look at these things, reading through John and the Gospels, I start to try to recognize the Bible, the King James Bible. These things could be applied to this Bible. Any other books, they're from this world. This book is not. This book is from heaven. His word is settled in heaven. Thy word is settled in heaven. Brings it down here. I said, therefore, unto you, another one of those nights, huh? That ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now, what do they have to believe in order to not die in their sins? Believe that He was the Christ. That's what they had to believe. And we see through and through the Gospels, we see through and through Peter and James, that their belief can falter and crumble and they can quit. And if that's the case, they go back to dying in their sin. Because the works is not what we're talking about. They had to believe that He was the Messiah. I am He. We've seen that through and through the Gospels. Then said they unto Him, who art thou? Boy, there's something in that chicken tonight the cute ladies made. I mean, boy. They said, then said they unto Him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of Him. They understood not that He spoke to them of the Father. Now, did you pick up on that? On verse 26? Sure. 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Again, I look at the Bible. When we lift up this book as the Word of God, then we'll know what we need to know. And when people ask questions about this Bible, some of the verses, and they're not saved and they don't believe at all, they're not going to understand what you're telling them. We run across that. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And He spake these words, many believed on Him. Believed what? That He was He. He was the Messiah. That's what they're believing. Okay. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, notice, still Jews, I can't keep doing this. I got you yawning now, and I guess we'll probably just do chapter 8 tonight, and we'll settle 9 for Sunday. I don't know. This is just amazing. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, where was His word? It's what He said. It's what He spoke. They had no none of this what we have today. And if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No Bible says set. No King James Bible says set you free. It's the modern Bible that says set you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So they don't understand that, and they don't understand that today. People think they've been set free from this world, and they've got to go to change this verse. Then they've got to go to Peter, where it says they escaped the pollutions of the world. And we have not escaped the pollutions of this world. Have you noticed? We haven't escaped. During the tribulation, they will have to escape the pollutions of this world, or they'll get dirty. But even right here, they don't understand. What do you mean? Ye shall be made free. Jesus answers them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. There it is again. I believe that most of the reason things happen with people today is because somebody's not in their book. Some of the difficulties we have, some of the clashes we have, were not in the book. And if somebody's in the book, is it rightly divided? If somebody's in the book, it's rightly divided. Are you looking for something for somebody else, or are you looking for something for you? And we have our difficulties because His Word has no place in us. And this is His Word. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Now, who's their Father? They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. See, if we're a Christian, we should be doing the works of a Christian. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They couldn't hear Him. They didn't believe. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, doesn't that all make sense? Who's the God of this world? The devil. When somebody's born earthly, when somebody goes out to the world earthly, who's running the ship? The God of this world, the devil. We know that the devil is angel of light. So it's going to look fine. We've been over those 1,000 times. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You've experienced that. But how many times has somebody told you the truth and you don't believe it? How about before you were saved? Somebody tried to tell you some of this stuff, or just about salvation, or about the Bible, or whatever, and you didn't believe. Why did you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, I tend to be able to find some scriptures to support that. The people that don't understand the Word of God and don't get into the Word of God, nothing comes out of the Word of God from them, for them, to them, or whatever, I think there's a pretty good possibility that there may be a false salvation there. I'm not going to make any claim, because Paul says in Romans chapter 4 or chapter 8, we can't make those claims. What do we know about somebody's heart? But still, if he said, and he says this with Paul different places, he that is of God heareth God's words. Therefore, ye hear them not, because you're not of God. Strong possibility there for today. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. There's another one. If we're supposed to have these things out, now we're getting some good application here. We're getting some good admonition. We're getting some good learning here. What took place in the gospel days and how God looked at things and how Jesus looked at things, and the word, the importance of the word. So we're seeing some spiritual application here. But we cannot take the gospels and put them to us directly, because if that's the case, why not 51? Unless you're one of those Great Commission pick and choosing kind of a person. This one's for us, this one isn't, this one's not, this one is. 10 years later, well, now this one is, and this one isn't. Now this one, I can see now that this one is. And that's not the way it works. You shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and kept his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. There you go. Not yet 50 years old. That's old. I suppose it was in those days, I imagine. Well, no, they're pretty old people anyway. And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Boom, what an answer to that one. Now look at how happy they were to hear that. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. Why? It wasn't his hour to come yet. That's all it can be. And went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And I still try to picture that sort of a thing. Here's this crowd throwing stones at him, and he's able to walk through the crowd to get away. Somebody in that crowd must not have known what he looked like. Or maybe he was just in total control of the crowd. I don't know. I don't know. Just a slow chapter in some ways, and yet an awful lot in there. Let's do one more, chapter 9. And this will go quickly too, kids, because this is about a man that was blind. And Jesus healed him. And they all got in trouble. They just all got in trouble. We're doing right. Chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now you hear that all the time too. This is why things are happening to you, because you've sinned. Or your parents have sinned. Or there's something going on. Yes, maybe somebody caused you to stumble and made you trip up, and your parents passed on something to you. Maybe you'll pass on something to your kids, or whatever the case is. But that's not what it is here. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So that's why this whole thing has taken place. God's going to manifest a work here. I must work the works of him that sent me. And that's one of the witnesses. John chapter 4, I think it is. John chapter 5, possibly. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Are we talking tribulation? How about if we're talking when he died? As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So, they kill him. They take him out. Where's the light of the world? The Word of God. We read through the Scriptures last week, the light of the world is us. Not with what we say, as we're going to flash the light of the Bible, which we can do, because that's the Word of God, and that's the light into their path, etc., etc. But we find out from Paul, again, in Philemon and Thessalonians and Ephesians, that our light is our actions, things that we do. That's our light. Brings up a lot of fakery, because people then start doing things that are very nice on the outside, but within the home or in our own hearts or our own minds, we're just as wicked and mean and grumpy, as crabby and judgmental and conniving as ever before. But it doesn't show up on the outside. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, he's no longer in the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now we know Jesus could have healed him without even doing all that. I find that very interesting. It's like, listen, I'm going to fix your eyes, and here's some bluck on your eyes. Now, you go down to the creek, and you open your Bible up, and you do what you need to do, and that situation will be healed. That's how I picture that. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said then to him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus, notice not Christ, Lord, anything like that, just Jesus, made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Now we can do a word study in the word anointed. Yes, he was anointed. Yes, we have the Spirit of God in us. We have read what anointing is, and again, that's in 1 John. We will have no need of God teaching us anything because we will be anointed. Again, we see other false teaching put out today. Verse 12, Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So the guy gets healed, and now he's in trouble. He's got to go to the principal. And all he did was something right. He stood there and got healed by his faith, by what Christ had done to him with his eyes. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. Well, there you go. Again, he did something on the day they weren't supposed to do anything and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, but because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Boy, is that getting the wrong visual point. Somebody gets healed, and again, they crab about what day it was done on. Somebody here in our lives, in your life, makes some changes for Paul, and somebody's going to crab about something else. They're not even happy that you're trying to make a change in your life. This is why we still can learn from the Gospels. This is why we still learn from the Old Testament. There's things to learn how that works in those days. It still works today. But we can't go to the Gospels in the Old Testament and the Tribulation books for tuas because those verses have consequences to them that we don't have to worry about. But we can certainly learn how things work. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So he had one side that saw who he was, another side couldn't believe it. And there was a division among them. There we go again. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So now let's doubt the whole guy's testimony in the first place. You never were blind. You just sat there for all these years. Must have been the money. Must have been doing it for the money. Probably got some good payments in those little camel hats or whatever. No. But that's what they have to do. You've got to go after the fact that maybe it wasn't even a problem in the first place. Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Okay, let's get to the parents now. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. I like that. He is of age. Possibly 20. Just a thought. or he's just adultish. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. When do we let our kids speak for themselves? When do we do that? Well, that's not really even the issue. Look at verse 22. His parents were afraid to stand up for him. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. What words? Ask him. Leave us out of it. Ask him. Because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he's getting tired of this. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Don't we sing that? Once I was blind, but now I see, or whatever that song is. Then said to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Go ahead, follow Paul. We're going to follow Jesus. But we're following the risen Christ, the risen Jesus. But anyway, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing? Why herein is a marvelous thing? That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, which, by the way, Paul takes care of the sin. We're not sinners. We're not a sinner saved by grace. We were a sinner that is now saved by grace. What are the things that we do wrong? If they're sin, they're not imputed. Paul never calls us sinners. If it's a wrong thing, that wrong thing will have to be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. You have to look through all of Paul's writings to see the word sinner. Because somebody says nowadays, see, you've sinned, and you haven't confessed that thing, and you're not walking in Christ's footsteps, etc., etc., etc. And now, where are we at? 21? 31? Okay, now we know that God heareth not sinners. So the reason we're having the troubles we're having is because somebody's sinning and God doesn't hear us. And I've had, remember the one letter I wrote there, I read a couple weeks ago, one of our former young people came by and was scared to death. You think God would forgive all my sins? Or what do I have to do to kind of, that was a scary thing. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. What is his will today? To believe that he is the Messiah? Or what does Paul tell us is the will of God for our salvation? To believe. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Okay, good enough. Here's what they do. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Who are you to teach us about Paul? Who are you to tell some of your neighbors that have been in church and been to Bible college to teach them about Paul? Who are you? By the way, Pastor, where have you been to school? How many years have you been a pastor? They cast him out. They cast you out. Now there's a verse in Paul where it talks about let's make sure that what we're doing is not a wrong thing, because that would make you a castaway. And I know I said this. I've been cast away by people because I haven't been what I should have been. I've been the pastor I should be. I realize that. And people will use me to not believe something. And that's too bad. I feel bad about that. But I can't go back and change it. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. So, Jesus goes to find him. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. It is he that walketh with thee. Isn't that good? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. So this Bible comes along. It's rightly divided, King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. It's all right there. That book there is for judgment. For those which see, but they really don't see. They that which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. They don't see. Somebody who doesn't see, who's the great blinder? Devil is a blinder. He blinds people. And what does Paul say in Acts chapter 26? To what with our eyes? To enlighten our eyes. That's enable us to see. I've read a King James Bible for years. And I haven't seen what I've seen until I realized what rightly dividing is. And suddenly that Bible fell into place. After all the things we said and done and damage done and tried to do our best with what we thought was right, we come to find out later on down the road that rightly divided Bible, our eyes will see. Verse 37, I guess. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Now how can that be? If ye were blind, you should have no sin. How do they not have sin? Not to sin. And believe on Him. How do we know not to have sin? Believe on the risen Christ. And we're dead to sin, dead to the law. There's no law to create sin. So we can't be considered a sinner. We see, therefore, see, there it is, your sin remaineth. That's the difference between the Gospels and Paul's teachings about sin.